There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday. So much to do. A lot of fun, too, as we've taken the show out to the Parade of Homes Showcase Home. We're going to talk about this home in just a second here in Kimber Ridge. Coming up this hour, Erin Beasley from the Alabama Cattlemen's Association joins us. Remember that discussion she and I had a while back about would Alabama maybe go the way of some other states and try to do some of the processing here in the state? So we talk about supply chain issues. You heard a story, I think, this week we talked about earlier, what's happening in Nebraska. She's going to join us to talk about what might happen in Alabama on that cattle processing coming up at 12:30. Plus, Ashley Trice from Lanyard in hour number two. She's asking, where is Kressel Threadgill? Of course, the superintendent of Mobile County Public Schools. We'll talk to her about that and a whole bunch more. And, of course, breaking news as we go through the show and Dr. Bill's forecast for the weekend. So it's all coming up. Glad to have you here on a Friday. Yeah, and I mentioned we're at the Showcase Home, and this is a lot of fun to do the shows out here, and I got to do it. I think last year we got derailed, but the year before we were in Baldwin County. It's good to be on my side of the bay this year in Mobile County at the Showcase Home in Kimber Ridge. And the builder's with me, too, Lynn Nolan, the Lynn Nolan Construction. Thanks for having us out.
Hey, thank you, Sean, for being out here with us.
Okay, so let's talk about this process that goes to, like, you got the Showcase Home. You got the pressure's on you. Everybody's invited to come see the house that you did.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. But we took it on this year. Our company, we felt like we need to put on a show and let people get back out again after being so cooped up last year from the coronavirus.
Right. So it is good. Yeah, I know there's a lot of excitement to come check out all the homes, but let's talk about specifically your Showcase Home. What are folks going to be looking at here?
What they're going to be looking at here is I try to get outside the box with this house. Okay. We build a lot of houses. We build a lot of farm-style houses. We build a lot of different style houses, but I wanted to bring a more modern feel. I feel like that's where the market's trending.
Okay.
And so we did a lot of different things with this house, bringing in big tile floors, high ceilings, no crown molding, real slick finishes, a real open and airy home, real crisp, clean lines.
So, you talk about that, the open floor plan. And even my uneducated eye has seen that in homes over the last 10 years or so. Like, you've been doing this a while.
Yes.
The number of walls y'all used to put in a house to now, how big of a change has that been?
A tremendous change. Okay. A tremendous change. Matter of fact, one of our older builders, John Howard Holmes, has been out, and Mr. John has been looking at the house, and he's like, you know, he's been in business 54 years, and he's like, I just don't get it. There's no walls to put furniture on. I say, everything floats, Mr. John, now. Just
yep.
Floats, you know.
Well, and it's what everybody wants. It's what we build in our house, too. It just, instead of feeling like you're separated from the rest of the family, if you're cooking dinner or watching TV, you're with them.
That's correct. I mean, you know, it's a family environment, you know, that you're not separated. You know, now we still have a few houses that they want to partition walls, and then they want maybe a barn door to where they could shut off the kitchen if right. Somebody's in the living room doing things, and the adults maybe might be in the kitchen or what have you.
Well, that's a great idea.
Yeah, and so we do some different things like that. So just we customize every house for customers, and that's what we do.
All right. You and I got in a conversation before we went on here about supply chain issues and how you deal with that, how, you know, Lynn Nolan Construction deals with that. This is really good. If I come to you and we decide we're going to have you build a house for us.
Right.
You said you get to ordering the stuff then, not...
That is correct. So we take the time and we go through every house and we detail it out and we pick out from the start, from the floors, the cabinets, appliances, we pick out light fixtures, plumbing fixtures, we pick out windows, doors, exterior doors, bricks. We pick out everything before we ever sign the contract. Okay?
And then
once the contract is signed and we're good to go, we order our materials then. We order our doors and windows. We order appliances, anything that we feel like that could be a lead time. And our vendors are great about working with us to go ahead and bring these things in and have them in their warehouses for us to where when we call and we need them, we can get them.
Yeah, and that's got to be, I mean, you took this on in this year, this challenge to be the showcase home. So
yes,
obviously, you had a good plan for that and getting all the things in that you needed.
I did. I will tell you that I have made a few road trips this week to Lafayette, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Pick up a couple of sinks, just things that was last minute that we changed. Not that we didn't have them. We just, as the house materialized and it came together, it just didn't fit the way we wanted it to fit. So my suppliers got on their horn and they looked around. They said, hey, I got some in Lafayette. I said, I'm on the road there. Put them outside the door. We went and got them. You know, yesterday morning at 11 o'clock, I pulled out a mobile, borrowed a trailer from a friend of mine, boom, went to Slidell and picked up the sectional because it just, you know, things just didn't quite work to what we exactly wanted it to be.
It's called getting after it.
It's getting after it.
describe the home, and I put some pictures up on our social media, and if y'all are on our Facebook page or our Twitter feed or Instagram, you'll see the pictures of this home. But describe what folks are going to see when they come here to Kimber Ridge and look at this house. Square footage, kind of give me some ideas on rooms.
Okay. Yeah, so we got a 4-bedroom, 3.5 bath. It's a split floor plan. We got 2 bedrooms with Jack and Jill, and then we have a front bedroom that has its own bathroom, kind of like another master suite, you know, similar, or a mother-in-law suite or something that, or for maybe if you got two sons and then they can share the back 2 bedrooms and the bath, and you got a daughter, she can
front,
be isolated to her own likings there. And then we come in, we got, you know, 12-foot ceilings throughout the family room. You're going to see very flush, TV flush, fireplace flush, everything, nothing protruding out of the walls, you know, in the house.
That's that slick you were talking about.
That's the slick finish, yes, sir. And then, you know, you're going to turn and go into the kitchen where we've got an island that it houses a full, complete slab of quartz. And it's one complete slab. And so we just put the sink in it, and we got the whole slab there. So we made it really, really nice to where, when you're having gatherings and stuff, people tend to gravitate in there to the island. And
so if
you got finger foods or you cooking, and everybody can just kind of round, and you got plenty of room. You got plenty of room for bar stools underneath and or standing around, you know.
Yeah, that's what's nice to have somebody with your experience in this. Like when you were saying a second ago that you looked at something that just wasn't right and you went to Lafayette and got the other part. Like, been doing this for
25 years, yep.
A couple of decades and a half. You can look at things and see, like, somebody who didn't, you know, do this for a living wouldn't see it. You see it before it happens.
Right. And a lot of times, a lot of my clients, you know, we work close together. We work close with the clients. Not only are they just our clients, we want to build a relationship with them and for years to come. You know, like for last night, I mean, I had some clients that I built for 7 years ago, and they were here last night, and then we're fixing to build a house for them in Fairhope, you know, and so they just came out to support, and then, you know, I'm going to build them another house in Fairhope, you know, and starting in a couple of months. We're working on plans now.
That is exciting. All right, we're going to invite y'all to come out today, tomorrow, check out the house we're talking about, Lynn Nolan Construction. We're here in Kimber Ridge, right?
That's correct.
Neighborhood.
Kimber Ridge off of Irvington-Balabatry Highway. We are 4 miles south of the interstate, right on the McDonald Road exit, where a lot of people know where the new Walmart distribution center was built. Okay, so people tend to say, well, it's kind of far out, but it's really not.
It's not.
I mean, we can be from here. I can be to the interstate. You know, it's like I said, it's 4 miles. I've clocked it. I mean, when Lori called me a few minutes ago, and she said, how far out are you? I was all the way on Dawes Road there at Warner Turf. And, I mean, I made it here in about 12 minutes.
Yeah, and I did it when I came out here the other day to check this out. When I came back, it was just a few minutes up the interstate, and then I'm on interstate the whole way back. You know, we're off airport.
That's correct. That's right. You can be downtown. You can be – I left here the other day going to Riley Stewart. And, I mean, I left here, and I was at Riley Stewart, which is over there off of Moffitt Road there at 98, the interstate, and I was there in 20 minutes.
That exit has been a huge, huge addition.
It has been
here.
A good addition.
Lori, let's talk about this. Lori Beasley with Metro Mobile H Home Builder Association. What about that? Are we stretching out? Like, what's hot? Right? Am I using a term that's right? Does anybody even use that term anymore? What's hot? What areas
sure.
are okay?
Sure.
What is hot? Where are people going?
really, West Mobile is where people are going, and West Mobile's getting full.
Yeah.
So they find that people kind of want bigger lots these days, so Irvington is a perfect spot.
It is. Okay. Mm-hmm. To the office, we're at Airport and 65. It'd be a lot easier for me from here to get there than it would be west of Snow Road.
Right.
100%. And yeah. I built a lot out there, and yeah. I've developed a subdivision out there with some partners a while back, you know, back in 07, 08. And off of Eliza Jordan, and mm-hmm. and just
beautiful homes out beautiful. There. It's just I drive it a lot. There's a lot of stoplights.
It's a lot, and it's just not any quick. Most clients, what we're finding is they want quick access to the interstate. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you don't really get much quicker than this, and be in a subdivision with nice large lots and not crammed on top of each other. You know what I mean? So. We've got quite a few lots. We've got some houses we're fixing to start in here.
Okay.
Already got a permit on one right on the corner. I'll be starting it 1st of November. And then Mr. Howard's going to be starting a couple. He's got two or three houses in here he's going to be starting as well.
It's a great neighborhood for y'all to come check out. And what kind of are there any times on this, Laura? Are there any times, like, when is the Parade of Homes going on from when to when?
Sure. So the parade starts tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
Okay.
There are 7 homes in Mobile. And this year we've done something a little special. We are combined with Baldwin County's Parade of Homes. So after you come to Mobile and see all their homes, you can head over to Baldwin County and check out their parade. We have a plan book that is available at every home. And at the HBA office, if somebody wants to swing by and grab one, the times are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday.
All right. Somebody, if they want to go online to get kind of a mapping of this, where do they go?
So there is a map and directions to each home on our website, which is hbamm.com.
Okay. And we'll put that link up as well and have you come back later this hour and talk with us more.
Sure.
All right. Thank you. The house looks fantastic. Really excited about having a chance to view this thing, and y'all want to check it out. We'll talk more about that at the end of the hour. All right, coming right back. Got a lot to check in on. And remember, coming in at about 12:35, Aaron Beasley from the Alabama Cattlemen's Association. What are we doing? I mean, supply chain issues on beef. Remember those from back a year and a half ago? What if we took cattle that was raised in Alabama and sold it right here in Alabama? She's going to talk about some of the ideas out there as well when we return.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Friday. We are live at the Parade of Homes, their showcase home here in Kimber Ridge. This is a lot of fun. Come out here and get to walk through. And you know, one nice thing is, even if you're not looking to buy a new house, like stealing ideas. You go with, not that I am, but I may be walking around stealing ideas for our house as well. All right. And I do want to do this, too. Say hello to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry and check in on a Friday. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Like, it seems like I was just hanging out with y'all like a week ago. And, I'm missing you. And I'm also missing an update here on precious metals. I know we talked some on Wednesday. Movement in gold, movement in silver. Where are we?
And it's continuing to move. Gold is hovering right around $1,800. Silver is in the 2440, 2450 range right now. Still a lot of activity, a lot of stuff coming in. Had a nice shipment of silver arrive yesterday. Plenty of gold in stock. I'm very impatiently waiting for those Dune coins to arrive. And then I can't remember if I sent you the link or not. There's a new series of those artistic Opinel knives that are coming out, another limited edition run. So we got all sorts of stuff coming in.
All right, and that's one of the things I want to talk about as well, that as I know to you and I, it seems like a ridiculous conversation to be talking about Christmas gift buying in October, but that's because, well, we're wrong and they're right, because normally it's a good idea. This year with supply chain questions, it's a really good move. So let's talk about that. I mean, people getting that shopping done here locally, because, I mean, we've heard it. If you're trying to order from somewhere else, it may not make it here by Christmas.
Well, and we saw this coming. We talked about this. Obviously, we listened to you there, and we've seen, you know, we foretold what was happening there. Said, hey, we need to plan for this and make sure that this does not happen to our customers. still going to happen to me because I'm still going to wait till Christmas Eve before I even think about shopping or doing anything. But we have ordered all of our Christmas and gravel rounds and bars 8 weeks ahead of normal. We've already received two shipments of those, getting ready to order our third shipment. So plenty of those in stock, lots of cool designs, a lot of people buying those up. You know, we mentioned the Open L knives, lots of those have been flying off the shelves. Again, we've moved all of our stocking and restocking for holidays up about 8 weeks to make sure that we were accommodating things, and all of our regular customers are going to be able to get their stuff, be taken care of, and not have any worries.
Excellent. All right. Tell folks how to find you in person and in the virtual world.
Yeah, in the real world, Midtown Mobile, 2204 Government Street. Online, of course, MobileBayCoins.com. You can also like and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram if you want to check out some of that cool new stuff as it's coming in. You want to listen to us talk about gold and silver, you can check out the radio show Two Guys and Some Change every Tuesday night on FM Talk 106.5, 6 to 7 p.m. And if you happen to miss that, well, shame on you, but you can always go to Two Guys and Some Change, the website, and check it out there.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, John.
You too. Angelo checking in for Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. All right, I want to talk about this latest story. I mean, there's many latest stories. And Ashley Trice from Landnap is going to join us coming up at 1 o'clock on the show to talk about what she wrote in the most recent Landnap and what we're going to talk about. And this question of where is Cressel Threadgill? Of course, superintendent of Mobile County Public Schools. But I do a little update here, too, from a Lawrence Specker story about it. And I guess... Well, I want to get to this, but it was exactly, I'm not trying to plant a flag, but it's exactly what turned out to happen at LAD is what we said early on, is you have magnetometers. It's just like a concert or whatever, right? They have all security measures and seating and all that stuff in place at the beginning of shows, and then as the night wears on, it seems like those things start to disintegrate. And so here's Lawrence's story at AL.com. It says, pending the completion of an investigation into a security breakdown and shooting at LAD People Stadium, school officials have blamed stadium management for a lapse, while the stadium manager says the school system had sole responsibility. Okay, so I mean, it's pretty difference, big difference of opinion here. Once again, the school officials blame LAD Peoples for the lapse. Stadium manager says the school system had the sole responsibility. I just wonder if that's in a contract somewhere. Said on the evening of Friday, October 15th, of course, this we're talking about 1 week ago, shots were fired on the stadium's west concourse during a third quarter game between Viger and Williamson. Since then, police have said that a group of people left the stadium and re-entered with guns. One of them opened fire, injuring five people, one critically. Two people have been arrested, and police are seeking the alleged gunman, Hezekiah Keneal Belfon, 19 years old. All right, comment here from Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine. He said on Monday that security review might lead to a production of a new plan this week or next. He suggested one possible outcome would be that the police, so MPD, would take over the responsibility for any Mobile County public school system games played at LAD. In the meantime, school officials have pointed the finger at stadium management. The criticism hasn't come from Superintendent Cressel Threadgill, who took nearly 72 hours to make any statement on the shooting and who ignored the questions of a news crew. That was our buddy Brendan Kirby from Fox 10 while leaving a school board meeting on Wednesday. But the system's director of communications, Renee Phillips, who's been a guest on this show many times, board mayor, member Sherry McDade also were not so reticent. And McDade said Wednesday that the school system does provide security at the gates at the start of games. But at the end of the third quarter, she said, those personnel move inside the field or for other duties. Now, once again, you have a magnetometer, you do security coming in, and then at the third quarter, you say, wouldn't no more of that? And we'll talk about that more coming up next hour with Ashley Trice. Coming up next, Aaron Beasley joins us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We are live at the Breda Homes Showcase Home here in Kimber Ridge. And we'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. But it's nice to be out here and do a little tour. We'll put a little Facebook Live up here in a little bit, too, to let you check out what's going on with that home. All right, as I mentioned before we went to the news, joined by... returning guest, returning favorite from the Alabama Cattlemen's Association, Director Aaron Beasley. Thanks for being back.
Hey, Sean. Good to be with you today.
It's good to talk to you as well. First of all, let's look at Christmas 2021 and the supply, being able to have a great steak here for a meal. How are we looking supply chain wise to have great burger, great steaks here in Alabama?
Well, you know, the supply chain is still going through some challenges, kind of the ebbs and flows of this virus, just like we are seeing in a lot of different industries. I would say that there's certainly plenty of beef out there, no problem there, but there are logistics issues. We still have plenty of cattle to supply, and the challenge is just to make sure that we can get it harvested, there's plant workers there, and that there are people to drive trucks to get box beef to the supermarket so it can get into the meat case for our consumers. So nothing like we saw last year for sure, but still dealing with logistics nightmares from time to time. And it's also contributing as well to what we're seeing with the pricing situation in the meat case.
You know, you talk about the movement of it and the trucking, and we've been watching this too in the trucking in the state of Alabama. There's a lot of diesel and wheels involved in that steak being there at your local store, right? I mean, it's not just we think about the rancher or the cattleman there, but we also got to think about truck drivers and meat packers and then other truck drivers to deliver.
Absolutely. There's got to be truckers that are taking live cattle to the plant in the Midwest, so from the feed yard to the harvest plant or facility. And then once that animal is harvested and turned into beef, it's packaged again into a box. And those subprimals are shipped in a box out to anywhere across the country. And so a lot of trucking involved. We're, continuing to see a shortage of drivers across trucking. That's been going on for years now. And so definitely need to have those key people involved in order to get the product from point A to point B.
Yeah, another part of this is what they're calling black swan events, right, Aaron? That this has been affected, COVID, of course, but a cyber attack, a fire at these big meat packing facilities. Right, you told us before, it's like what, four players control how much of the market in meat packing?
Yeah, we've got four key players that are controlling over 80% of the beef that's harvested in the country.
So if something happens at one or two of those plants, I mean, holy cow.
Pun intended. We say four packers, but, a packer could have 8 to 10 beef plants that they're operating. So one entity owns a lot of plants that are harvesting a lot of cattle every day. However, it is done in mass quantity, and so, for example, if you do have a plant go down, you could lose a plant that harvests 4,000 head of cattle a day. And so, yes, when we have what we call these black swan events that have happened here the last few years, I don't even know if I want to call them that anymore because they tend to be happening more and more. But unfortunately, when we do have those type of situations happen, it has a very very strong impact on what happens and the ripple effects throughout the industry. And depending on how long-term or short-term those glitches are, they really can have some very detrimental effects, not only on pricing, but of overall supply chain.
And so with that, this is a conversation you and I have had in the past. Is there a way to decentralize, right, for Alabama cattlemen to be selling their cattle to a processor that's regional or state located or something like that, to be able to at least decentralize this to some degree? We see this story from up in North Platte, Nebraska, that ranchers up there are getting together and they're doing just that, a co-op, almost like, farm folks know farm co-ops. This would be a processing co-op.
Yeah, very, really good point. So you definitely are seeing a movement across the country of looking for ways to what we call increase hook space. And so you have to have a hook in a meat plant to harvest an animal. And so the one thing that we can do that we know is going to alleviate some of these issues we've seen is to increase the processing capacity across the country. And when we do that, we know that it's really going to help with our live cattle supply. And so we have seen a movement. There's not only initiatives within producer groups and for other companies to get involved in order to open beef processing plants. You see some initiatives from the federal level as well. There's been some announcements from the federal government recently about grants for meat processing, for more of the regional type processing going on. And so all of that is going to really help in Alabama, we're never going to be a state that's going to open just a huge packing plant. It's not a part of the industry right. that we're involved in. Where we come in is that we do have a lot of producers that are finishing some cattle and selling it direct to consumer. So more of that niche and local supply of beef. And so what we have seen and what we've really concentrated our efforts on is ways to increase small and very small meat processing, because we know that that is a footprint that we can expand within the state and not only help our producers by giving them outlets to harvest cattle locally, but also helps our consumers out as well that are looking to purchase beef that way. And so we've had a few initiatives to see that come to fruition. You know, I've actually had several conversations in the last year with individuals and companies that are interested in constructing a facility. And so I really do think that in the next couple, 3 years, we will see some more small and very small meat processors come on within the state. We also have commissioned and will be getting the results next month of a study that was done at Auburn to evaluate the feasibility of small meat processing. We actually pay for that as an association. And, you know, we want to know what are the numbers behind what the state can handle. And we know that those numbers will be very helpful as folks are business planning. And we look forward to be able to provide that report and give them, you know, some numbers and some meat behind what they're trying to do in terms of that business plan for a small meat plant.
This is interesting, too, because it fits in. Just joining us, talking to Aaron Beasley with the Alabama Cattlemen's Association. This fits in with that whole, you know, people want local food. Yeah, they look at it for other things that they bring to the table. And it doesn't mean every vegetable you buy, every fruit you buy is always local. But I think people, when they can, would like to supplement, augment, or at least maybe add some of their mix being local. And so in these small, you said small and very small meat facilities, would it be like the equivalent of that farmer's market for vegetables? Would it be a contract relationship between the customer and the producer? How do you see that going?
Yeah, I think that's a really good example. And the great thing about our food supply chain just in general is that there's food produced in a way for everyone. And so whether you want to buy commodity products and you know, you're buying based on the price point, or whether you're looking for more of what I would consider like specialty type products where you are looking for that's sourced locally 100%. Mm-hmm. You know, we can supply that as an agriculture industry. And it's no different in the beef industry and the cattle industry. And so from our perspective, you know, we know that we have producers. You can go on our website, bamabeef.org, right now and pull up an entire list of producers that have said, hey, I want you to put up my information up there. And that way, if consumer is in my area, reaches out to the association and wants to buy beef locally, all we have to do is direct them there. They can check out that freezer beef directory. And they can go ahead and shop for some product locally. And a lot of it is in quarter or half beef. But there's also some producers that have the ability to sell cuts of beef and 1 pound of ground beef and that sort of thing. So there's really a lot of options and versatility. And, you know, I do think we'll continue to see an expansion in that area of the industry. The Commissioner of Agriculture has a really large initiative called Sweet Grown Alabama that encompasses all locally grown agriculture products. And so beef obviously is a part of that. And so we feel like we're helping with that as well. There's a place for everything, like I said. And so anywhere from our perspective that we can see or find ways to help or improve or find a solution, that's exactly where we want to be. And so that's what we're trying to do as an association.
Yeah, I think that hybrid model will work. And I'm glad you're saying this, because I'll be talking about being on the website. You and I talk about things like that. But to a lot of folks, they didn't know that was an option. You know, I mean, you do this every day, you talk about it, but there's a lot of folks listening to us right now that goes, I can get locally sourced beef. I think that's lost on a lot of people.
For sure. And that's why we put it together, honestly, just because we were seeing an increase in calls to the organization, you know, calling our building here in Montgomery saying, hey, I live in, Northwest Alabama. Is there a producer up here where I can buy some beef? And we said, you know what? We get that call a lot. Let's get it all together. So we did a call to action with our members and our producers, and a lot of them wanted to jump on and put their information out there. And it's really been a great tool for us. And so we think that all of that will continue to expand. I'm not going to say it's going to take over the market in any way, But like I said, there's a place for everyone and every type of beef product that we produce. And the association's happy to be able to facilitate and help connect producers to consumers. That's really what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, and I think the next, and yes, I'm with you. I'm tired of the black swans. We got a whole flock of black swans here in these events, Aaron. So when the next one of those things comes around, and it's a cyber attack or whatever, then it doesn't take it all down. It doesn't change it. I mean, it might affect one certain area, but if that thing is happening in Kansas, it doesn't affect us in Alabama.
Well, unfortunately, it still will. We still, the majority of our producers are still selling feeder calves on a live market. And when those black swan events happen, they have ripple effects throughout the entire industry. And that means live cattle pricing. And so, unfortunately, we definitely will still feel the effects. It's just such a complex subject, quite honestly. And so we're just continuing to look for ways to try to alleviate some of those pains. I say all the time, we've got to find a way to be less volatile in the marketplace. That's really been kind of the sticking point with these events the last couple of years is, what can we do? What kind of risk management, what type of price protection programs can we maybe look for the cattle producer to try to help him have some options out there where if something like that does happen on the day that he's selling cattle, the rug doesn't completely get pulled out from under him, as we've seen here in the last couple of years.
Guaranteed. As a producer, I could jump on board. And actually, before we wrap, I'm looking at several texts in here. But Dan says, he's on the other side. He's like my side. He's a producer. He says, how does someone with cows get involved in this? So how do they get listed on the website?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can call up to the Cattlemen's Association. Our number is 334-265-1867. And just let us know that you want to be on there. You can also jump on the website. And I'm fairly certain that there is a little fill in your contact information. And you can put that in. It'll get to the right person. And we'll get your contact put up there. But you can always call the association. I promise, whoever you talk to, they'll get you the right person to get your question answered.
Dan, they tolerate me, and they answer my questions, so they can handle anybody else as well. So that is a good thing. And once again, the website is, where do they go?
BamaBeef.org.
Aaron, as always, I appreciate our conversations, and we'll talk more as we get closer to Christmas. We can just talk steaks. We'll do a whole show just talking steaks. How about that?
That sounds good. I failed to mention this time around, it's actually October Beef Month, so we've been talking steak a lot in the state.
Well, then keep on talking. We'll talk about it in October, November, and December if that works for you.
All right. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate the support.
Hey, always. Aaron Beasley, Alabama Cattlemen's Association. And a little update there on the kind of questions. I mean, I know we're kind of detecting a theme here on supply chain, but there's a lot of people tackling different parts of supply chain. I can come on here and we can talk about the ships sitting outside the port at Los Angeles, and I've seen plenty of stories there, and we talk about it. But I also like to bring it home and how, instead of just saying, this really stinks, okay, well, then what can we do to try not to be so dependent on, four meat packers taking 80% of the business for the country? How can we start to divvy this up and get it back to a local level? And whether that be cows, that be vegetables, everywhere you get your power from, all those kind of things I think are good things to think about going forward. All right, coming right back, more of our broadcast live at the Parade of Home Showcase Home here in Kimber Ridge. And they have more information on their website for the full map. Homes here in Mobile County and in Baldwin County. Starting tomorrow, you can parade on through and check them all out. We'll be right back. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. That's actually a good thing to think about. If you're buying one of the homes from the Parade of Homes and you got to move out of your home, about half the stuff you don't need. That's what you need to get my buddy Trey and his crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK to get rid of the junk. Mobile County, Baldwin County, it could be stuff in your house, storage unit. It could be a home you're getting ready to sell. You got junk, you need it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They set those appointments as well, like old-fashioned style. Not like, we'll be there sometime between 8 a.m. on Monday and midnight on Friday. No, the way it works is when you call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or you go online to their website, what you do is you say, hey, here's a day that works for me. They say, okay, find a window of time that works for you. They set a good old old-fashioned appointment. They show up and get to work and get the junk gone. So check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or just pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And like I mentioned, we continue here from the showcase home at Kimber Ridge for the Parade of Homes. And this is one of the many you'll be able to check out this weekend. But the builder and the man behind this one, Lynn Nolan, right here with us. And we got a lot of questions here, too. People said, can they start? Did you say 10 a.m.? They're asking, can they come at 10? Okay. They can come at 10. What is it? I'm sorry. I had to line all these things up here on how many. So come at 10. The website, once again, for more information on this. I know you had said it at the end of the last hour.
It's HBAMM.com. That stands for the Home Builders Association of Metro Mobile.
All right. So Lori's got your website there. You can check it out. But this is specifically the one in Kimber Ridge. There's the one in Kimber Ridge on it's Honey's Way. Is that?
That's right.
Okay.
And that's H-U-N-N-Y-S.
Okay.
Honey's Way. Yeah.
And this house, you said before, was
four bedrooms. 3.5 bath. Yep. 2,932. Living, heated and cooled square footage.
And so Lynn's used this term here, I'm learning. It's slick.
It's slick. It's slick. It's smooth.
Slick is the look right now.
Yep, that's right. It's very smooth, very more modern twist to it. Clean lines.
You know what clean lines mean to me? Less places to have to dust.
Correct. That is correct. That is
correct. That's probably not the most exciting way to put it, but as you know, guys have been doing this for many decades at homes. I'm like, I like that. Less places for dust to be.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, traditionally, you know, we stack two or three pieces of crown molding and all that stuff. Yeah. So,
as you talked about too, getting the appliances, when you mentioned that, where are we now? Like, what? First of all, you talk about anchoring that kitchen literally with how it was one piece of. Is it quartz or?
That's right. It's quartzite. Yeah, that
one
quartz,
whole piece.
One whole slab.
Okay, so that's the anchor. That's literally the anchor of the kitchen.
That's correct. Yes, sir. Only thing we took out of that was where the sink goes.
So the sink's there. What are people looking for? Calling you mostly? Are they looking for electric? Are they looking for gas? Are they looking for two ovens, three ovens, one oven? Like what's popular?
So you know, every client's different. Okay, you know, some people are accustomed to just straight gas. They're just a gas cooking, and then you got some people that say, hey, you know, I've never cooked on gas. I'm an electric person. I want all electric, you know, and so it's definitely a personal preference.
Can you get the same looks, like with the different equipment? Can you like
the gas tends to give you a more of a beefier commercial look.
Okay.
You know what I mean? A bigger statue, I guess I would say.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And so, you can find some really nice electric ranges, but they just don't stand up like the gas does.
What if somebody comes out and comes out here specifically to your home, Kimber Ridge, and looks at it tomorrow and says, I love this home, but I want to be in Baldwin County or I want to be somewhere else?
That's not a problem. Yeah, not a problem. We build all over the county. We build to Baldwin County. We build all the way to the Florida line. We build up north. We've been all the way as far as Chatham, you know what I mean? So then we go into Mississippi as well.
I tell you what, though. We talked about the beginning of the hour. This neighborhood is something. I'm a person that believes in being close to the interstate as well to be able to get places. And this does it. You said, what, it's like 4 minutes up the interstate.
Right, yeah, it's 4 miles. It's 4 miles from here, from the entrance to I-10, to where you're merging onto I-10. It's 4 miles exactly. Okay, and so it's four lane all the way down to the intersection there at a half mile, and you take a right, and it's two lane right here about 2 miles to this entrance of the subdivision. So you got 2 miles, four lane, 2 miles, two lane.
This is, it really is. I mean, when I came down here Monday to check it out, I was really surprised how quickly.
Right.
Let's also talk about if somebody sees things in this home they want to incorporate, but not the whole home. Do you get a lot of people go, hey, I saw your kitchen such and such. I want that, but I saw your living room from the other place, and I want that. Does that?
That we do get that. We do get that. I built the showcase house 10 years ago, okay, over in Layton Place. And I still today have people come in, if we do a home show or something, they'll say, I remember that house, the showcase you did in Layton Place, and I remember that massive vent hood that you had. You know what I mean? Or that massive island,
right,
or that particular outdoor kitchen, you know?
And they say, I want one of those.
They want one of those, yeah.
And let's talk about this as well. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, I mean, obviously they come here, check things out. Best to go, just give you a call, go to a website for Lynn Nolan Construction.
Just give me a call. I'll have my cards here, but my phone number is 251-379-4919. I'm going to touch on that just a quick second, if you got a minute. So I don't have a website, okay? So I kind of get I kind of get ridiculed a little bit about that, but the way Lindola Construction and our company, the way we work with our businesses, we work with customers and we build their custom homes. And I just never have felt that I needed to put their business out on the web. Okay, so it's just
personal.
It's a personal thing. Yeah. Now, most people we build for, they do that. Okay, they put out there and then they tag us in it. Well, that's great because it gives us some recognition, but we just feel like it's a personal, private thing of what we're doing for the customer. You know what I mean? And so that's
good
why a lot of people say, "Are you a ghost?" I'm like, "No, I'm not a ghost. I've been in business for a long time." So,
well, this is good, and people can see it in person right here at the Showcase Home. Also, let's talk about, you mentioned it at the beginning of the hour. This is a tip for somebody who's, even if you're not building their home.
Right.
You have this pro tip that when somebody signs a contract with you to build the home.
Get your stuff ordered.
You are ordered. That's why you have all the stuff here.
Get your stuff ordered. Yes, sir. I mean, it is. I can't express that enough to whether I'm the builder or whoever your builder is.
Just and the stuff try, being like everything. We're windows, appliances.
Right.
Like,
that's exactly right. And windows, supply, sheetrock, insulation, you know, electrical stuff, wiring, plumbing things. I mean, you know, it's a big backlog, and you know, just and it's not just so much your subs, but it's the suppliers from, you know, from the supply houses, and then they rely on the manufacturer to get it to them. You know.
So. Do you see this trend of home building that we're in continuing for a while at this speed?
I do. I see that. I mean, our phone calls are coming in, thank the Lord, every day. And so I just had to tell people, look, you know, I can't get to you till the 1st of November because we got this parade and we've been pushed to get this thing. And but then there's two or three people waiting, you know, to speak with us, you know, 1st of November. And so we actually last night we've got a new client just from the last night from the party here. And
that's
so,
good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, so that's why we do this, to support our association, you know, and to support the subs and all the, you know, the people that work with us.
But I appreciate you. Thanks for having us out.
All right.
Lori, thank you for having us out
as well.
We'll be covering what's inside the home and outside the home on Facebook coming up later on today. All right, right back for hour number two of Midday Mobile. Ashley Trice joins me next from Lanyap.